to Every Fan for Himself, the podcast for people who only understand things within the context of someone who has been subjected to advertising their entire lives. My name is Jason Kenny.
I'm Eli Webb.
I'm Jaren Jolly. And if you don't fall into that category, get out of here.
Yeah. Also, we don't run ads.
That's true.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, you can change that.
Yeah, so we're looking for sponsors. specifically from Nabisco. Do they make Cheez-Its?
Yeah. This is a podcast about getting sponsors on your podcast. As soon as we get one, we will stop recording.
We'll tell you the whole process, beginning to end, of how it works.
Yeah. We actually have some big news.
Yeah.
For any sponsors listening. So we're going to be at Comic-Con, FanX, Salt Lake. This weekend, we'll be there from like the 21st, 22nd, 25th, or what?
23rd. Oh, what the?
What reality am I living in? Anyway, we're going to be there on Saturday, the 23rd, am I correct?
That's right.
Yeah. 5 p.m. we have a panel. We're talking about Avatar The Last Airbender and the Avatar Studios. So come check us out if you're in the area.
And come check out FanX in general because we love them, it's really fun.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We've been doing this for like 6 years, and we got a panel, baby. So whatever you think is more important than that, you're wrong. Try again. Come on Saturday and see us do our thing.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee you that there will be a prize waiting for you if you come, but I can't not guarantee that. So
I can guarantee you some spicy content, though. Like, I can guarantee you some hot, just words of mass destruction. It's going to be incredible. So come on by. We do have, however, a very special episode for everybody today.
Yeah.
All of our episodes are special. I love all my children equally.
Oh, some, more than others, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone absolutely with more than five kids surely has a favorite kid.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. When you have that 100%. Many, there's
like,
not enough.
When you're closer to. Like, you could never actually say favorite. Like, you don't love them more. Yeah. But you like them more.
Well, you've absolutely forgotten about a few of them. And, you have the older kids raising the younger ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on how far apart they're spaced and stuff, mm-hmm. too. Like, mm-hmm. sure, you could have seven in, like, very close succession, right? And you get more of it. But when you're spreading them out, 8, 9.
Yeah, you don't have that much love in your body. The human body can only love so much.
I can't imagine that Christmases are very good. Like, right? If you come from a large family, right. And I know if you're in Utah, you probably do. Tell me how your Christmases was. Were you a middle child? Did you get presents?
Did you have to get gifts for all your other siblings?
Did you have to? Yeah, that's true. Because
when did you start doing that? It was easy in my family.
Yeah.
One of two. Yeah, just get a present for everyone.
But here's the thing. Now you're obligated to get something for your brother or sister if there's only two of you because...
You get something for your siblings.
Yeah, but I have three siblings. And so at that point, we just drew out of a hat because getting three different gifts and gifts for your parents.
I have one. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but I guess it's easier, but you also can't not do that. If you hated your sibling, you're like, I still have to do it.
We found one, though, because I'm a family of three, and we got presents for everybody. Your family, four kids.
This is the line.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, start drawing names at four.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah.
So, if anybody's listening, don't have more than three kids.
What's your Christmas tradition with nine kids in the house?
Yeah.
Really? What do you do?
What are birthdays like?
You're feral.
Yeah.
Surely there's no order as far as presents. You're not taking turns.
No.
No, probably not.
No, it's every fan for himself at that point.
Exactly.
Nice.
Which is a good segue.
Which brings us to a podcast about our podcast
and stuff right here, baby.
We are going to be at FanX.
Yeah. We are.
It is worth your time. We've enjoyed it every year we've been. We've been for the past 6 years, 7 years, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
Just not as a podcast the year before.
But, oh, yeah. Here's the thing. If you've been with us from the beginning, we've been doing this for 6 years. Irregularly.
Yeah.
And
we started 6 years ago. Let's say that.
There we go. That sounds better and then more truthful. But if you've been with us from the beginning, then you are high-fiving a million angels with joy at us getting to FanX and having a panel.
Yeah, we're panelists.
You're probably family or friends.
We're not just your run-of-the-mill podcast with no sponsors. We're a podcast with no sponsors that also is on a panel.
Yeah.
So true.
Talking about Avatar The Last Airbender. Yeah. Avatar Studios.
Easy.
us.
A thing we love. A thing that's objectively cool and good.
Yeah. Yes.
We're really excited. So come to that. If you are from the future and you met us at FanX and you're coming back and listening to this episode, welcome.
Yeah.
Great to have you.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming to the panel. Glad you enjoyed it so much that you started listening to us.
That one. Now,
hello from the past.
Yeah, that one guy
invest
who came
in
up.
Apple.
That one guy who came up and asked that one question and called me out in front of everyone. I didn't appreciate that, but
not then, but we all learned from it.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this for the first time within the space between release of this episode and Comic-Con, come with advice. Come to Comic-Con with advice.
Please
for
help
us.
Me.
Yeah.
In our daily lives. Nothing,
come with a banner.
We don't want any constructive criticism about the podcast. We want, like, life advice.
Yeah.
Because
if you're listening right now, before FanX, you do probably know us.
Yeah.
Which means you know our flaws.
Yeah.
Sick.
You know our shortcomings.
I can just be myself now.
But if I see you regularly, I don't want... I don't want criticism either. Like, I don't
right,
want
no, I know you,
know
you well enough.
You know
I know
too
their
much.
Flaws.
You
yeah,
know
yeah,
too
yeah.
Much.
Yeah. Okay, so acquaintances who have been listening,
yeah,
who know us enough to dislike one thing about us,
yeah,
tell us what that
one thing
is.
Yeah, but it has to be like collectively, like right. Not individually, because I would feel bad if somebody like was like, "You have weird ankles."
Sure.
And it's like, "Yeah, well, I know."
Yeah. So someone who's been to a party with the three of us, but we don't hang out regularly, they saw the three of us interacting outside of the context of the podcast, they decided to listen to the podcast.
I think that's
they're
like
listening now.
Maybe three
then they
people.
Come to FanX,
yeah,
and
make a general
tell us about the three of us.
Of the three of us,
just one thing.
If you're just tuning in, this is usually how the podcast goes. So welcome.
That's not true.
Okay. That's maybe
we have
an excellent episode.
A good variety of stuff.
Yeah, this is a variety show. Yeah. I don't actually know what that is.
No, I think it just means they do different things on it.
Yeah, so it's
it's not one thing.
Right.
Like a circus is a variety show.
Yeah.
Really?
Probably.
Okay.
Surely.
Yeah.
It's one of the most
various
shows out there. Yeah.
Should we jump in?
If you're new, welcome. If you're old, welcome back. We love you.
Yeah. Okay.
What are we talking
Let's
about?
Let's jump in.
Yeah, so we're talking about movies today.
Particularly, Jump In, starring Corbin Bleu.
Let's talk about...
Kiki Palmer.
I know, you love Kiki Palmer.
I was an early Kiki stan, for sure.
You were an Kikiist.
Yeah.
What do you prefer to be called?
It's not appropriate for the podcast.
Pervert.
No, yeah, I do. I have liked Kiki Palmer for a long time, so I am enjoying the Kikisance.
Yeah.
Oh,
currently.
That's so bad.
I just coined it.
I think it's okay. No. I think
keep,
you did a good
keep
job.
Trying.
It's fine. People said McConaissance, and I didn't like that.
But at least that, like, phonetically works. What did you say, Kikonaissance?
No, I said Kikisance. Kikonaissance.
Kikisance sounds
Once
like.
Once Matthew McConaughey and Kiki Palmer star in a movie, then we can call it the Kikonaissance.
Okay.
Yeah, she needs to write a book.
I would read it.
Yeah,
I'd buy it.
What would
I'd
you
wait outside
it?
To get it signed.
Jump out.
I don't know.
Sure. What was Matthew's called?
Green Lights.
Green Lights.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't recommend.
That's right. My wife would recommend it.
I couldn't get. I think it's worse when he reads it.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about it. Well, actually, you've told me about it, but I want you to tell them about it.
If you like Matthew McConaughey, fine. If you like him as an actor, fine. If you go to him for life advice, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he shares way too much of it. He thinks, I don't know, it's like he's saying something like it's wisdom that he's passing on, and it's nonsense.
Here's a quick soundbite from the episode. Note to self.
Oh, I thought you were going to
We're all going to own it. No.
I haven't read enough of it.
But you can make something up.
But there's one that's I don't know. He's like, localized to specialize, modified to accommodate. The Renaissance man is comfortable wherever he goes. That's way too close to the
actual
one.
I love how
one.
You said you didn't know, but
that's
that was, that was
close.
Nearly
it's
verbatim.
Close. Yeah, it's close.
That was great.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. I love that.
We're 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
I think
Let's
that,
tell him what it's about.
Well, I think that that's poetry, actually. I think that McConaughey was onto something that you don't appreciate.
Sure, that's a big possibility.
Yeah,
I just don't have the eyes to see it, perhaps.
Yeah,
the ears to hear it,
because like it means something different to everybody who reads it.
Exactly, it's like a parable.
Uh huh.
Right.
Yep. Anyway, so back to the topic. We're talking about movies. Specifically, we're talking about our favorite movies. And the reason I wanted to do that is because it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know, to hear what other people like. It's kind of fun. But also, we wanted to make it a little bit spicy.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about movies that we think are overrated.
Yeah, because I feel like we want to, like, hey, if you're new or even just a refresher, here's who we are, what we like, but even more important, here's what we hate, or here's what we think is so overblown.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good gauge.
Yeah, and remember, we were raised on 90s television.
Yeah.
Right. Early 2000s.
Same deal.
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
And so our taste is impeccable.
We were raised in the Nine Donnas. I'm going to maybe edit that out.
Like, there's no way that our opinions are wrong. So let's jump right into it. Who wants to go first? Who wants to start off telling me their favorite movies so I can ridicule them?
Yeah, I will do it.
Yeah,
go ahead. I have no shame. I mean, for me...
Let's go top four.
Yeah.
That's what Letterboxd does.
Yeah, and, let's do kind of a Letterboxd. Mount Rushmore. Yes, this is our Mount Rushmore movies.
This is our Mount Rushmore. And I can't think past like context clues from other sources.
So, totally. Yeah. Here's the thing. I keep like a running list of a lot of my favorite things. Uh-huh. And I went back to my list, which I think I updated like a few months ago or something. And it's totally different today. And not totally different. I'd say it's 50% different.
Do you have like honorable mentions that are from?
No, I don't even need to do that.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm just going to tell you the straight dope.
Yeah.
So you were able to get it to four.
Yeah.
You don't have another. Wow.
No.
Wow.
I do have, you know, a special third category that I hope maybe.
Hang on. But do you guys have honorable mentions?
Mine are, I will have honorable mentions without comment. I'm just going to list stuff.
Okay, then I want to do that too because I did cut one.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Sure. I'll name a five and a six.
Why not? Okay. Without comment.
Without comment.
Because we're not adding anyone to Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, my John Adams, if you will. Sure. Who should have been?
Who's the fifth?
Who's the fifth president?
On Mount Rushmore of anyone?
Yeah.
FDR, probably.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, here's my FDR.
Okay.
Tree of Life. By Terrence Malick, starring Brad Pitt, Sean Penn, Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, of course.
You get it.
I was on Reddit looking at the overrated movies.
Stop. Don't get to that. Life was Save on it. There. Save was it. Shut up.
I love that.
I scrolled right past that because I looked at it too. Okay. In no particular order.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, can't deny it. Lord of the Rings as a whole. I could... If I had to break it up, I'd pick Fellowship of the Ring, the first one. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to take the trilogy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on my number one spot, my first slot in the mountain. Lord of the Rings.
You're George Washington.
It is, yeah.
I don't want to get too deep into that.
Of course.
Because I'm not gonna call one of my four the Teddy or the Lincoln.
Which of your movies abolished slavery?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to know.
Of these?
No, I don't want you to actually. You're starting to go to it.
That implies that your first one did allow slaves.
Own slaves, acknowledged how bad they were for whatever reason, the State of the Union, trying to keep it together. It was fragile, decided not to address it. They put it off for future generations.
Right. Oh, crap.
A complicated legacy.
Why am I going first?
Are we prepared to discuss George Washington's complicated legacy?
Lord of the Rings is, in my mind, like the perfect movie across every category. Like the production, the casting, the writing, it being an adaptation. It has everything. It's a simple movie in the sense that it's truly about pure good and pure evil. Obviously that's a huge spectrum and it focuses on so many characters lost in between, but it has like these massive, huge moral pillars that it's built on that are, you know, eternal and you know, outside of that, it's just one of the most beautifully rendered movies ever on every level. I don't think anyone needs to say any more than that about Lord of the Rings.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
High praise.
It's highest as I go. It's 10 out of 10 for me. I mean, there's nowhere else higher to go.
I mean, you said perfect and perfect adaptation, which
Let me say this then. I don't think a perfect adaptation exists of any
right
book. But I as far do. As
Holes
is pretty good.
Sure,
that's a I think truest book to movie out there.
Fine.
Hold on.
But even then,
The Crow was very close.
Was it?
I mean, the graphic novel is light years better, but it's very close.
Even in that same breath, like Scott Pilgrim is such an incredible adaptation.
Fair.
But I don't know. As far as like taking the most beloved and like one of the loftiest fantasy, maybe the most lofty fantasy novel ever, and adapting that, I there's in my mind there's nothing that's been done to that level.
Right. Well, I think they did. I mean, I think they got the spirit of so much of it.
Right. Because I feel like it would be impossible to truly adapt unless you had
I mean, if you
of money and movies.
If you happen to see the Stephen Colbert rap he did with the cast.
Right.
Called Number One Trilly.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, looking at a trilogy, even though we're talking about movies and we kind of did lump it.
Yeah.
You can't really argue that there's a better trilogy, I don't think.
I don't think so. I think objectively it's the best trilogy that exists in film.
Yeah.
But that being that's Lord of the Rings. Number two on that slot is Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
By Hayao Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli. I really honestly feel like there's so many Studio Ghibli films that could occupy this spot for me. Princess Mononoke is my favorite, but really of like his big core three or four movies in my mind that are 10 out of 10s, this one's just my personal favorite because I feel like Princess Mononoke does so many things like so well. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, I can't believe that they're animating these unnecessary human moments that don't necessarily add anything to the story and don't even necessarily add anything to the character, but it adds to the like depth of humanity and reality of like him restringing his bow, even though it's like the enemy didn't unstring it. What is just like a little moment or someone falling off balance, like little things like that. When the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, this is a different type of filmmaking going on that I had never seen. And then within that, the fact that, like, in all of Miyazaki's movies, he just understands characterization so well. He understands that no one is truly evil or truly good, that there's good and bad to all kinds of things. And I just feel like that's, like, at its pinnacle with Princess Mononoke, because it's a very violent and it's a very, intense, unforgiving world that they exist in, that a lot of people die and get injured in, and yet to balance that without it being over the top is so mind-blowing that a movie like that exists and does all those things so uniquely and distinctly that it's absolutely 10 out of 10 on my Rushmore.
Okay, I like that opinion, and I maybe later I'll say something spicy, who knows.
Number three is Truman Show.
Oh, that's a good one, dude.
It's one of those ones that, like, you don't think about until someone's like, oh, yeah, Truman Show. Like, whoa, I love that movie.
And then everybody's like, oh, I feel like I live in the Truman Show all the time.
Right, yeah. Right. But the fact that the movie kind of created this weird, like, philosophy of people being like, is this all a set? Am I being watched? Whatever.
Yeah.
Truman Show just is, you like, taking Jim Carrey and putting him in this really perfect setting for him to be like himself but still be so dramatic. I just think it's one of the most original concepts ever. Truman Show is so slept on, even though it's, I think, one of the greatest films ever. It's huge. And then rounding off the list, which is kind of a new addition, is It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. Love
and,
that one.
And you know what's funny, I try not to think about that movie as a Christmas movie. I know that it is, like, it happens during Christmas. It's so tied to Christmas, but, like, I started thinking, and this is such a hipstery, stupid thing, but I started thinking of it as, like, a fantasy film. Shut up. And it's, like, this philosophical fantasy thing of him getting to review A World Without Him. It's so...
It's a cool concept.
So incredibly.
I think Fairly Odd Parents did it better. Yeah, I couldn't even get through it.
All right, there's my fault.
No, it's a novel concept that
it has stood the test of time.
Yeah, it came and out it's being repeated over and over again in different movies. Yeah. And whatnot.
So, has it only stood the test of time because it's a Christmas movie? I wonder.
You know, that's a very good question. That's the only reason Christmas with the Cranks is around.
Sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I watched that last year.
We are a real Crankhead cast.
Yeah, no, I mostly watch it because Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle is in it.
Yeah.
So that's all I care about. Anyway, Eli.
That's largely why I watched things. If someone from Malcolm in the Middle is in it, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Agent
that's
Cody
That's my Bennett. Real litmus test.
That's Soapbox one. The Soapbox DCOM.
Uh-huh. Miracle in Lane 8.
Lane 2.
Two.
Eight feels.
That's a lot of box soapbox. Wait, yeah, soapbox.
Yeah, I want
derby box.
I think that, no. He says I want. Does he say soapbox derby?
Soapbox derby.
Yeah,
cars.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But I don't. I mean, besides Bryan Cranston, I don't think anybody else did anything outside that show.
Frankie Muniz.
That's what we already talked about.
I know, but you just said besides Bryan Cranston. We've got to.
Well, besides him
his,
and
got to give the man his dues.
Yeah. Why didn't Lois do something?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know that I've seen one episode of Malcolm in the Middle.
Dude, I've seen
clips.
Jason, it's his whole MO.
Oh, yeah. I've seen every episode.
It's multiple, on his Rushmore of TV shows.
On repeat.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go. Your
sure.
Turn.
Okay. I've also got Lord of the Rings on mine. Just a Lord of the Rings guy.
Mm.
It's my favorite book and movie for very different reasons. But yeah, I think there is.
You like the nudity in the movie.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We had a few more Hobbit bums.
The explicit bath song.
Exactly.
In the book.
But I do think the movie's incredible. I think it did capture so much of the spirit of it. When you've read them so many times and so much and you know them so well, it's really easy to see how different they are, the books and the movies.
Yeah.
And it's easy to kind of say, like, oh, man, like, I wish they would have done this in the movies. Or, right. Oh, that was a nice addition. But I think I've kind of passed the threshold of nitpicking with it, and I'm able to enjoy them independently, and I'm able to enjoy the movie for everything it is, even though I think Peter Jackson, like, there are some things that he had licensed with that I'm like, yeah, I get why he did that. I get why he had to crunch this huge series into three movies that still ended up being long. And there are still some things where I'm like, no, I don't think he needed to do that even when he was trying to save time. Or even when he was, I think that was the wrong choice. But that's a small list, and I do think the movies are phenomenal. And I think some of the cast is like, has permeated into my reading of the books.
Totally.
So, like, the highest compliment I could pay Ian McKellen is that he is still the face I see and the voice I hear when I read Gandalf.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think he was perfect for it. I think he struck, like, when you get to know Gandalf in the books, we recognize that he is quick to laugh and he's quick to anger. And he's intense and powerful, and there's depth to him, but he likes really simple things and appreciates them and has empathy and wants to defend them. And I think Ian McKellen struck that balance perfectly.
Completely. Well, and I think it's a genuine testament of how much you love something when you start nitpicking it that much.
Right?
Because it's like, I don't nitpick like something like Harry Potter, the films, nearly as much as I nitpick Lord of the Rings, because I love it that much that I go that deep with it. So it's a testament to how beloved it is for us. If you had to pick one.
I was just going to say, and that's funny because it's a little inverse from the books, and a lot of this is nostalgic. I think my favorite movie is Two Towers.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah. And it's my, I don't even want to say least favorite book because I love them all so much the most. But in the books, I enjoy, I don't know. It's all so good. And the books are different, too. I mean, at the end of Two Towers, the book, Sam fights Shelob.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen until Return of the Kingdom movies. But that's one of my favorite moments in the books total. So, but I've watched Two Towers maybe more than any other movie in my life. Maybe.
Right.
Because there was a time where I was watching it like weekly or multiple times a week.
Totally.
For a stint there.
I had a summer where every day I picked a different one and watched. I didn't even watch them in order, whatever, but.
Right.
Yeah. But I think I've watched Fellowship that many times as well.
Yeah. And I could, I mean, right. I've got the most to say about Lord of the Rings, but I could go on. Next would be Casino Royale, actually.
Ooh. Is that number two?
That's, yeah, the second. I don't know if it's number two.
Right.
But I think it's the perfect re-entry into Bond. I think it carved its own niche. It gave us a much more unrefined Bond. They called it out in the movie. They call him a blunt instrument. Mm-hmm. I think Daniel Craig was awesome and super physical and gritty compared to, like, just a smooth Bond we always got to see. Right. Always in control, things like that. I think it's so well written. I think the pacing is great. The performances are great. The soundtrack is great. The title song is great. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they did so well with it. And I think they had a hard time living up to it since then, with the exception of Skyfall. But after Two Towers, that might be one of the ones I've seen the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like
I love it.
Casino Royale was like this perfect storm of so many things going right. And whether that was like so deliberately planned or just like the magic of chemistry of all that coming together, it was this perfect culmination of like, whoa, this is better than not only any Bond, previous Bond film, but any action film.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, it was funny too, in a way that a lot of the Bonds weren't and haven't been.
They leaned into that.
I just want to say real quick, you said it's better than any other action film.
Well, okay.
I knew Jason was going to have something to say.
Let me clarify.
Spy movie, I would say, maybe.
Yeah, I would say like...
But Jay, what do you...
Because Commando came out before that, so I just
wanted... I meant more like gun, firearm-driven action film.
And get more specific.
You
say better, the best gun film.
Sure.
Right? Oh, sure. And you'd say it's firearm driven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I stand by that.
It's a great movie. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
Yeah.
I also, like, Princess Mononoke was kind of hovering.
Oh.
I might give it honorable mention just for the sake of variety.
Yeah.
But I do love it. And
yeah,
it's, of course. It's,
yeah.
I mean... You feel kind of weird these days, like, saying so many good things about Studio Ghibli. Yeah. Not because you, like, want to temper that, because it's like... But you do worry, like, are too many people talking about this? Are we overdoing it?
Right.
I don't think we are. I think it's a pretty singular, masterful thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Singing in the Rain.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
I really... Totally. I love musicals.
Yeah.
And... Well. I still think this is one of the best. I think it is funny and charming and sweet and feel good. I think Gene Kelly is astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, in everything he does, he's a phenomenal athlete and choreographer and director.
Right.
I mean, he is the reason that musicals started to be taken seriously by the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
By the Oscars. I think American in Paris was the first musical to be nominated or maybe win Best Picture. Don't quote me on that. I should have done that research specifically. But I think it's so good and so classic.
Yeah.
The best thing to find on TCM when you're scrolling.
Love
Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain is such a fun thing to geek out about because, like, the closer you look at it, the more you're like, not only how did they do all that they did with sets and with physicality and with whatever, how did they do that in the 50s or 60s or whenever it came out? Like, was so far ahead of its time, no one has caught up in the musical genre, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's like, fantastic. Yeah, the golden age. Yeah. It's the summation of that for
me. I would like to make a side note that my dream job is to be the guy that introduces the movies on TCM.
This sits on the armchair.
So
easily
good.
My dream job.
That's awesome. Inspired this director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're not quite like that.
This movie is what I like.
He's quite a bit younger than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's Ronald Reagan. The Gipper would like to introduce.
And then, see, I even coming in as I'm reading my honorable mentions, I'm like, ooh, do I want to throw this up? No. Right now, I'm going to say 12 Angry Men.
Beautiful.
As my fourth. That one,
One of the best.
For me, when I look, I'm like, whoa, like, what a movie.
Yeah.
Like, what an experience to watch this thing. It's not so much that you get lost in it like you do with Lord of the Rings or Casino Royale or even, you know, Singing in the Rain, in that you're just in it for the ride and for the spectacle of it.
No.
12 Angry Men, I'm like, whoa, like, that was a decision they made with the camera.
Right.
With the staging. With the cinematography.
Totally.
With the pacing. And I watched it again, like, a month ago or two, and it just gives me chills how well done it is and how well performed it is by everyone. Does their part so well.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we get these 12 guys and at first, like, we get just like a caricature of them. Like, this guy's like the blowhard sports guy. This mm-hmm. is the kind of angry gruff guy. This is the old man, mm-hmm. right? And some of them stay that way throughout the movie, and I think there's a lot of utility to that, but just the way it gives us them interacting, and we get to learn more about them, and we get to see why are you so ready to send this kid away? Why are you so ready to condemn? And oh, I'm getting chills talking about it. It's so, so well done.
Yeah. No, it's one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like it holds up a mirror to the viewer, to itself,
right?
To like really put your place, because I feel like the whole point of the movie is you feel like you're the 13th person in that room, mm-hmm. because of the cinematography, because of the way that it directed it. It's so like pulse pounding because you're locked in this room with them,
and the way it just jumps right into it too,
right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It starts them coming in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Completely. I feel like it does that in a way that movies hadn't done that before, and it is chill inducing as you go.
Yeah. And it's just that it's that good today too. Completely. It's not dated.
No.
Yeah.
Other than the things they're talking about and the clothes they're wearing, right. That it's black and white. Like,
that's it.
But it's not, it's totally timeless to me.
Yeah.
Quick honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I've a lot.
Oh my gosh. Do it.
I'm sorry.
Do two.
It's I did one. I'm listing them.
You already did one.
Rear Window. What's Up Doc? Thoroughly Modern Millie. Incredibles, Signs, Young Frankenstein, Return of the Jedi.
My heaven.
I'm shocked Incredibles didn't make it. Eli's a real incredible boy.
Any one of those, not anyone, Return of the Jedi, it wouldn't really, but I had to throw it out.
Yeah.
A lot of those could have been in 4.
Yeah.
They cycle.
Got it. Jason, round home plate for us, big dog.
So first things first, I'm going to go off with my honorable mention.
Okay.
And this one maybe is a little bit surprising, but... my honorable mention is The Bride of Frankenstein, because The Bride of Frankenstein...
What, Jason? No. A horror movie? You?
It's one of the best movies ever made. Easy. Like, the themes, the story,
mm-hmm.
Just everything about...
everything.
Yeah, everything about the movie is near perfect. It's a phenomenal movie, and so it's all about favorites, and so it just barely missed the top 4.
Love it.
I would say but
sorry for my gratuitous list, everybody. It was too big. I know it was.
Screw it.
I have a hard time picking favorites.
It's okay.
We just talked about picking your favorite child, and you said you have to as soon as it gets really long. You just spat in the face of that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So number...
I care more about movies than children.
Number one on my list is The Invisible Man from 1933.
Ah.
It is...
Love it.
When I first saw it, it blew me away. Like, this is like... I don't remember how young I was. It was early 2000s. Seeing the effects and watching the behind the scenes of how they did all the different things to turn somebody invisible, to make footprints appear in the snow,
right.
to watch, you know, a chair sink as they sit in. It was truly incredible to me how they pulled everything off.
Yeah.
And Claude Rains' performance in it is astounding. Just the way he's able to convey madness but not be seen. It's all vocal and his performance is phenomenal.
I feel like it's one of those movies where it's like genuine. Because, I mean, obviously it's like pre-CGI. It's just genuine, like a love letter to movie magic.
It's
so cool.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. So number two would be Let the Right One In.
Mm.
I read the book. I really loved the book. And I saw the movie and found out that it's, you know, one of the best horror movies. It's really great. And I struggle calling it a horror movie. Like, it has horrific things in it.
Yeah.
But it's more of like kind of... I don't want to call it coming of age kind of a thing, but right. it's centered around like children becoming friends and whatnot.
The horror elements are like the fact that it's a vampire, but beyond that, it's way, way, way more.
Wait a sec. Coming of age vampires. We've seen this somewhere. Hang on. Hold on a second. The Littlest Vampire?
I thought you were going to say Twilight.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
No. I'm talking Littlest
Vampire. He's talking about Jonathan Lipnicki.
My boy.
Exactly.
Number three is Robert Eggers' The Witch.
Wow.
Another movie that just...
I didn't realize that was so high for you.
Just, yeah, no.
It's so great.
It left such, like, a lasting impression on me that I couldn't stop thinking about it for days after I saw it. And I saw it multiple times since, and, like, I'm still hashing out everything about the movie and, like, interpreting it in different ways, and I think it's phenomenal.
Completely. I think the
depth to... like the history and the research that he did, you know, the handmade clothing that was accurate to the times. It's all really impressive.
Yeah.
The fact that they actually managed to cast Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool.
That he was available, actually.
Yeah, no, he's normally pretty booked.
The fact that they were able to get actual Puritans from the time.
Yeah, that they unfroze them just in time. Well, the thing about The Witch is like... Robert Eggers, his commitment to like with the language and the script and everything, but not making it like, I know it sounds like I'm a dumb boy because I am, but like not making it boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With all that language and the dense cultural, like, I don't know, references, you know, the average dumb viewer, me, would normally be like, oh, what do they mean? But like to make it so engaging. Sorry, that's me.
No, I'm not even gonna apologize. Number four on my list, because we got another category to get through. Number four on my list is Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Yeah,
it's
GHD.
I also believe it's one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of. At the same level as like It's a Wonderful Life, right. Where it's still being redone over and over and over again because it was such a novel concept. Totally. It was so fun and you could do so much with it. And Bill Murray's hilarious. Mm-hmm. The script is hilarious.
Yeah,
like even to this day.
Andy McDowell's lovely.
Oh my gosh,
for sure.
And it's just such a good movie.
Yeah.
So
love that. I agree with all of you guys.
Yeah, it's great. I'm surprised Jaren didn't honorable mention Blade Runner.
Or 49.
Yeah. Or Indiana Jones.
I could honorably mention Dune. I really love
Dune. I thought you would, actually.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but again, I had to tighten this. I came into this tightening it up so much. I think, Jason, you did as well. That I didn't have time for that. I didn't have room for that.
Yeah,
I didn't
allow myself. You did have time.
No, listen, I didn't have.
You thought it.
Yeah, I did. And I said, you know what? I'm better than this.
I still gave you four. I gave you four. You
do. I'm just giving it
that time. Nice, dude. Get in.
No, all right, Blade Runner would absolutely be honorable mention. So would.
Right.
Yeah.
IJ.
I want to.
Thanks for that. Thanks for honorable mentioning it for me.
So I want to get us going on our next segment. And this one can get a little bit spicy. But I'm going to start us off. And I do want to preface this that I like all of the movies that I'm about to.
Oh, interesting.
Mention. I like them all.
Okay.
But I had to, like, really find something that I thought was overrated. We're talking about overrated movies, or what we think is.
I'm trying to piss someone off, actually. Yeah, yeah. I want to.
Well, the hard thing is like, I'm not, like, a big hater. You know what I mean?
And
you're not.
You love the craft too much to hate.
Yeah, and
you're too dumb to hate.
You like stupid things.
You don't understand movies.
You're
too dumb to critique
it. You're not deep enough.
And so, like, I really struggled to, like, find something that I truly just disliked. And, so, anyway, I'll start us off. I actually wrote down a lot, surprisingly.
A dishonorable mention.
The first thing I want to say is...
You're so fast on your...
Thanks, I'm good at some things.
I think you guys might agree with this, actually, maybe. Yeah. I think that The Hunger Games is overrated relative to the hype that it received. I like The Hunger Games. However, the book went into like so much more depth as far as, you know, the politics of the world and its message that it was sending that The Hunger Games didn't really touch upon it. It was more about like
the action
and Katniss's emotions and whatnot.
That's fair.
And to finish that point, Battle Royale is just objectively a better movie.
Right. Sure. Do you know that Quentin Tarantino said that is his favorite movie of all time?
I wouldn't blame him for saying that.
Which is interesting.
It's a super good movie.
I disagree that it's overrated, because I think Catching Fire is actually a phenomenal film. The second one, I agree.
Oh, I was just talking about the first movie.
You're just talking about
the series. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the first one is definitely poorly directed.
It started a huge phenomenon, which is, you know, great and fun and amazing. Mm-hmm. But like, if we're comparing it to other things that also started phenomenons, like perhaps, I don't know, like a Harry Potter or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same, you know?
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Wait, hang on. Is that your number one slot? Because I don't want you to take mine.
We gotta get through some too. You don't understand. I wrote down a lot.
Okay.
I might have to rattle them off.
Well, but you're going to steal ours if you're rattling.
So you're stealing? You stole Lord of the Rings and Princess Mononoke.
Look, we can go in a circle. Jared, do you want to go next?
No, Jared complains. No.
How
many are you going to dishonorably
mention? I will, in fact, just start rattling them off. I'll give my reasonings very fast as well.
Okay.
Interstellar, because The Prestige is better.
Sick. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a dishonorable mention for me.
Yeah.
Spirited Away, because there's better Miyazaki movies like Princess Mononoke and Howl's Moving Castle.
Wow.
Even though I do love Spirited Away.
Sure.
Get Out is a fantastic movie, but it hits way too many like greatest of all time lists, greatest horror movie of all time lists, beating out movies that are also just better horror
which
movies.
Which I get, because I feel like Jason's extra sensitive to
horror
classics.
You would know.
And totally. I like I said, I feel like it cuts out like, you know, too many good movies in like a top 10 list, and it is a phenomenal movie. But I just don't appreciate that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
How many more?
No, let him.
Okay.
Let's see. PTA movies in general, Paul Thomas Anderson movies in general, are a little bit overrated. There Will Be Blood in specific is what I'm talking about.
You think
also good movie?
Overrated. That's fair.
Also good movie. Maybe a little overrated.
I don't think that's fair.
The French Dispatch is like probably the one I have a harshest criticism of. I've never even heard it
was well rated. In fact,
yeah. I don't know. People rate Wes Anderson pretty high.
That's fair.
Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yep.
The Lobster was better. I didn't really enjoy Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Right.
Spider-Man Homecoming and Thor Ragnarok, both a little bit overrated. Better Spider-Man movies exist.
I completely agree with that statement.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, when Taika Waititi things continued to happen,
it hurt
Ragnarok.
Totally.
I think if it had been its own thing and stayed that way, it would still be properly rated.
Yeah.
But I do get what you're saying.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Let us down a bad path.
I probably have others that I could say, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
Your complete overrated list.
I'm just done.
He's breaking the rules.
Okay, fine. Sorry. I think that Donnie Darko is a little bit overrated.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He stole three of mine.
No, go for it, please. I was rattling them off.
Tell us what you think about
him. But he didn't say my number one, because I think that the number one most overrated film, in fact,
This is a number one, not the first. This is your number one.
This is what I...
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is my four. I got four.
No, I just mean...
Oh, like
when we were listing top of the list. Top four, no order. Yeah, is this...
This is...
The number one.
The rest don't have an order. This has an order.
Okay.
I think Pulp Fiction is the most overrated film ever because it has great elements. I think it's uneven. I think it's way too self-serious and thinks it's way too cool, and I feel like it doesn't have the chops to
be what own, people think it is,
yeah, to own the coolness that it's trying to be, whereas a movie like Inglourious Basterds, it is cool, it claims being cool, and it's really cool.
Yeah,
almost all of his Kill Bill, same thing, like it is
cool
and it wants to be cool.
Yeah,
Pulp Fiction wants worse,
it's more overrated because of what people could be talking about.
Correct.
Specifically with Quentin Tarantino.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think people jumping on that as like this tentpole for this type of movie, I think it's really has great elements. I think it's so uneven and it's so poorly constructed. And yeah. It's so overrated. It is. I don't love Pulp Fiction. Donnie Darko, absolutely up there for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, again, it was like some ideas that were interesting and fun for people on Tumblr to feel depressed and cool about. I think it's pretty disjointed and boring. And I don't know. I did, the more I returned to it, I'm like, this is nothing. And the director didn't really do anything else with it or go anywhere. Yeah, I think Moonrise Kingdom,
I knew you were gonna say
that, and Grand Budapest Hotel are so overrated. The fact that, like, I look, I think Rotten Tomatoes is a stupid website, but the fact that they hold like these 90% whatever scores is so stupid. Again, in the context of Wes Anderson's other movies, he's great movies. I love him. Moonrise Kingdom is so genuinely cringy and tries so hard. And Grand Budapest Hotel just feels like the adult version of that.
Right.
I just think it's a total waste of time. Totally, Wes Anderson is up his own butt and thinking that he's so cool and unique.
I am a known Moonrise Kingdom apologist. So
really?
Yeah, yeah. You know this.
You
I
love feel
like
it?
You know this. I genuinely really like it.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand it.
I like the Scouts.
Second, Edward Norton poked his ugly head in that film, and Wes Anderson movies, I walk away.
You don't like Ed?
He bugs.
Really?
Ed bugs.
Okay.
I like some of his movies, though.
Sure. I like Ed.
I'm ambivalent.
Okay.
Ed can come or he can go.
And number four is The Lobster, and by extension, anything by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh.
I think that in my mind. Did you see the favorite? I did.
It's overrated?
Good. Yeah, it's definitely his best movie.
I do really want to see Poor Things, though.
At this point, I'm so.
It looks pretty good.
It
does look
pretty good. All that. His movies just feel like dark, edgy Wes Anderson movies to me. Like the dialogue in Sacred Killing of a Deer and the dialogue in Lobster is so like, no, you cannot come in my room. I will not let you. I don't want it. Ugh, it's stiff and it's annoying and it's trying to be weird and I hate it.
They're both hard movies to watch.
Yeah, but not because they're not good. In the same way that Master of Disguise is actually, it's a very easy film for me to watch because, like I said, I'm an idiot. Anyway,
does it hold up?
No, never held. Didn't what was it holding to begin with?
I don't know. It was around the playground. People like Master of Disguise.
Well, I think it was helping the United States heal after 9/11. Right. That was its main role.
Yeah.
Did it come out on 9/11?
No, maybe.
There's a story.
Is it on set?
while it was filming, 9/11 happened. And
yeah.
I don't know that it was.
No,
I don't know that this is confirmed.
Dana Carvey wouldn't break character or something.
No. Was that it? I don't know that was it. This could just be rumor. The rumor I heard was that, like, they did the moment of silence while he's in the whole turtle.
That's what it is. He's in his giant shell.
Yeah.
And
not turtly enough for the turtle club.
Right.
And receiving the news about 9/11.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Him still in character.
No, he wasn't in character, going,
we need to carry on or whatever the voice is.
Yeah. I gave you a chance to not do
no,
that.
No, I wanted to commit to that. I'm not disparaging.
You undercut it as soon as you get it. You're like, carry on. Or whatever the voice was. Is that important to you?
Yeah. I wanted to finish that bit as pride.
Cool. I got one overlap. I had Pulp Fiction also.
Yeah, baby.
Even like, yes, on the one hand, like, Quentin Tarantino has better movies.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's not what people think it is.
People make it their personality.
It's just so over. Annoying. I don't know. And I think because it's early.
Yeah.
They loved it and latched on to it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. All the ones you mentioned, actually, I don't know. I think it came out before Kill Bill.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It's his second movie.
So all the ones you mentioned came after.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so people would say, you know, maybe it's their Bill Russell.
Tarantino
movies. Right. Perhaps.
Better. The indiness of it, the fact that it was like his first big breakout.
Sure. And for people who it resonated with, like maybe they hadn't seen something like it. So it's like, oh, this is new or different enough.
Yeah. Sure.
But watch it again now.
Yeah.
Like,
just watch
the context of it. Like, it was its thing in its time.
Sure. And just in the context of his other movies.
Exactly.
Which
it's
has
been
the
better since.
100%.
So watch more stuff. And these others, I put Blade Runner on. It's a joke.
I was actually prepping myself emotionally for one of you guys to take a dump on Blade Runner.
I was going to say Blade Runner. I was going to say Dune to make Jason mad. But I think Greatest Showman was overrated. I think it was a flash in the pan, right? People don't talk about it today like they did when it came out. But how much people talked about it when it came out, I was like, okay, like, gosh, let's go watch this. And it's, I think it's cool when a musical comes out and is popular. Like I said, I like musicals a lot.
Okay.
I really like that, you know, people will do it today and that they can be good and well done, even though I have qualms about popular actors just being in musicals.
Just because they're
popular actors. Yeah. Same with them doing animation voice acting stuff.
So you don't like Les Mis?
I love Les Mis. And I think that has... No, but I think, like...
Throwing in someone like The Rock into Moana, maybe?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Rather than, like, a good singer. I mean, he did fine, but,
he
like...
He was fine. And he was actually... I mean...
He's better than...
He's on the better end of those things.
But I get what you're saying.
But Mario movie.
Oh.
Unbelievably frustrating.
No, but just, like, throwing a voice actor in.
Yeah.
Like,
he's popular, Anya Taylor-Joy for the role. The it girl of that moment. Yeah. And I'm like, she wasn't a good Peach.
Right.
Okay.
Seth Rogen was a weird Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen was a weird Cranky Kong. I don't know. That's for me. I don't know if he was cranky specifically.
Luigi was good though.
Yeah, Charlie Day was good. Luigi. Yeah. And Chris Pratt was surprisingly good.
Jack Black is a good bounce.
I was worried that Chris Pratt was just going to be Emmett from Lego Movie, or just like himself, because he is just him in Lego Movie. But he actually did enough to make his voice different than doing that. Like that's animated movies, not what I'm talking about. Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
When I watched it, like totally expecting to love it, like people were saying people would, I was like, oh no, it's, I don't think it's that good.
Right.
I think it was overrated, even though people don't talk about it. Then it was overrated then.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but there's absolutely something I forgot to mention. I did generalize and say Paul Thomas Anderson movies in general, but, Punch Drunk Love is a great movie.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to put Punch Drunk Love within that category.
I don't even know how you can say that about There Will Be Blood. I get it's long and maybe a little like it drags in some places.
I think it's a good movie.
But it's long.
I think it's a good movie.
Perfect. Anyway.
It's all perfect. No, now Jaren's overrated.
9 out of 10. I am overrated.
Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
But it's so
good. No, you're good. Avatar.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be said.
Like,
I think what's weird is I feel like everyone agrees with you, even though it's still the most grossing.
I'm wondering, like, who was spending that money?
Right.
It must have been overseas.
It has to have been.
It was a thing. Like, people really anticipated it.
Yeah.
And people did go to see it.
It was huge.
And people, like, a huge selling point was that, like, it was, like, going to be so cool and special to see it in theaters, that the effects were going to be so amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of cheesy. The effects are cool.
Yeah, I know.
But it is, it's a little...
People said
it's a rehash Pocahontas. And
right.
They're right. It's not really my main critique even, but just it's...
But it's like a spectacle in its purest form. It's like going to see the world's largest, I don't know, whatever. But...
keep going.
should I go back to the turtle voice? Continue, but you know what I mean? Like you go and you're like, wow, this is great. Like I can't believe they achieved this.
Sure.
But any story would have... worked, which
exactly,
is the kind
exactly.
of
exactly. Yeah, it's an art show.
Yeah, exactly.
And then apologies to James Cameron, but Titanic.
Yeah,
I think Titanic is bad. Whereas Avatar, I'm like, I don't know why it's as big as it was. I think Titanic is bad.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think it's
like.
I don't think Leonardo DiCaprio is good in it. Okay. I don't think Kate Winslet.
You think
is
the
good
acting
in
is bad?
I think the acting is bad. I think it's melodramatic.
Yeah.
I think the writing is bad. I think it's a weird take. On a huge disaster.
Right.
Like
to not focus on like the heroes.
No, not even that necessarily. Like on the one hand, I like that it's a super zoomed in, like here's just one story of what could have been happening on that ship.
Sure.
Like that's fine. But I just think it's not well done.
Now riddle me this. What is a weirder take on a like historical disaster? Titanic or Pearl Harbor?
Sure.
I would rather watch
Titanic.
Yeah. That's fair. Because people rate Titanic way higher than Pearl Harbor.
Agreed. Yeah, what's we're talking about.
Now, people apparently do not.
Well, no, I'm. It's what's overrated.
Yeah.
I think Titanic is overrated.
Yeah.
Pearl
Harbor's
dumb.
Could easily be
people
considered.
Think it's dumb.
yeah, Pearl Harbor's dumb enough, and it's been dumb.
Okay, okay.
I had a sixth grade teacher who was talking about how she saw the movie Pearl Harbor in theaters, and how she was coming out of the theater. There were two girls coming out at the same time, and one of them was crying. And she was like, "That was so sad. I'm so glad that didn't happen." And that's stuck with me. Titanic was on my list. That was the first one I came up with. Sure. It's easy for me. I did, when I was looking at that Reddit of overrated movies, mm-hmm. someone else, there were a lot of people disparaging Titanic.
Yeah.
And someone else is like, no, it's like the only thing it was missing, like was, or the only thing Billy Zane was missing was a mustache twirl. Because he was like so
sneaking onto stereotypical, the lifeboat, over the as top, a woman.
Scummy. Yeah.
It's absolutely not Billy Zane's best movie, because Billy Zane's best movie is called Demon Knight, straight to DVD.
Is that the one where he's got green goo and like gross?
He's a demon.
Yeah. And that brings me to my main point.
He's phenomenal in that movie.
It's mainly overrated because Billy Zane has better things to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not as a true Zaniac, I feel like.
Shouts out, Billy.
I feel like he deserved more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for bald guys too.
I feel like I really agree with both of you.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
almost.
Remember, I did preface it saying that I like mostly all of those movies.
Yeah.
Right. That's fair.
You did. And your take on it was, I liked your take saying this is overrated because this one was better by them. You know, mm-hmm. you did that with Killing of Sacred Deer. You did that with Interstellar, things like that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not really slandering Interstellar, really, but I totally agree. Prestige is better, and we should be talking about it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I've had some reflection on Crystal.
That's shocking, actually.
You don't have to concede anything. You don't have to.
Yeah, you know what?
I know you like Interstellar.
I'm not going to gratify you. You're really allowed
to like Interstellar.
I do like Interstellar. This is not me saying.
You used to be obsessed with Interstellar. I agree. That's what I'm saying.
I based my whole personality on it. I saw it 8 times in the theater.
That's so cool.
That's not cool.
It
is what it is, but it's not cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't have to be cool.
Yeah,
This is a nerd podcast. None of us are cool.
Yeah, full circle.
Jaren used to be cool, and I think he's still kind of struggling.
This guy saw Interstellar.
No, I think the opposite. I think
you're cool.
The Captain Marvel guy. Brie Larson me thing. Taking a picture with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah,
he like feels bad for me. Have you seen that news article of like it's like this chubby, lonely looking guy taking a picture with
Brie Larson?
He's like, this man saw Captain Marvel 300 and something times while it was in theaters. Oh. And he's like taking a picture with Brie Larson. You can tell on her face. She's like, my gosh. And he's just like a sweaty, sad man. Like, I did this for you, my queen.
Dang.
That's me with Interstellar.
That guy rocks, dude.
Shouts out to that guy.
Good ribs.
See, he crossed the threshold.
Yeah.
He's back to cool.
He's back
to cool. Because he's being cool himself. Owned it.
I got work to do. Yeah.
No, you're okay. I'm being too hard on you. I'm not fair. You liked it that much, and it's totally okay that you did. Yeah, and I like that you saw it 8 times. I like that you were into it.
I would
incredible
say that
totally.
You've just witnessed the foundation of this friendship. Me being too sensitive, Eli taking it too far, Jason waiting in the wings. That's the show.
This is me backtracking.
Waiting in the wings. I feel like I'm being proactive and
you're being nice.
In support.
It's just not being your knight in shining armor. I you resent that.
I love you guys. I'm
just surprised you would put Prestige above it now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just film quality. Yeah. I don't know.
It's personal.
It's better film. I don't know. Did I say like it more or did I say better?
I don't know.
It's a better film.
I like it more.
You agreed that it was overrated and you said better. Yeah, you did say better.
I do have like a little bonus content.
Oh, sick. Oh, yeah, you said you had a third thing.
Tell me.
I would like to know what your guys' comfort movies are, real quick.
Ooh. Okay. Mine's easy. I mean, Locked and Loaded, it's kind of boring. You put on any Studio Ghibli movie when I'm having a bad day, and it heals me. Anything.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And it centers me.
Yeah.
Easy.
Hmm.
That's me.
Historically, for me, it's been, this is going to sound weird, maybe, historically, it's been Chronicle.
Oh, sick.
The superhero film?
Yeah, the superhero film.
Incredible.
Frankenstein, like, you know, the original Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably, what was it? The Crow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just movies I can turn on.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Singing in the Rain definitely makes that.
Yeah.
Like, it's
a warm blanket. Picks me up immediately. Yeah.
And then not because I've seen it that much. I guess I kind of have seen it a lot, though. But the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice is
okay.
Like,
great answer.
Kind of more recently, I've been like, wow, I know I really this is like a good turn on and have it in the background. Mm. Like I'd like to, I can sit with this for a little bit.
Yeah, makes you feel at home and
yeah. Peaceful. And I'm not one of those girlies who loved it that much. I disliked it initially.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you just loyalty to the 6-part BBC?
I came around. I was loyal to the
Stellar moment.
It is exactly. I was loyal to the BBC one, and I was like, I think Keira Knightley is probably too pretty to be Elizabeth as far as my approach.
She almost wasn't cast because of that. Actually.
See, and I even as a young lad, I would think I was in sixth grade.
I know. Did you? Are you referring to that interview? He was on. She was on Graham Norton. And she was talking about meeting with Joe Wright, the director, and he's like, I don't know, I think you're too pretty to play Elizabeth. And then they met, and he's like, okay, you're good.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's so really funny.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was like even me in, I think it was sixth grade. I was like, I don't know about this, Mom.
You're so annoying. That I makes me feel so much better about going to Interstellar 8 times.
No, it's you like, were that boy though too. You were the BBC with your mom boy.
Yeah, I was a BBC boy with my mama.
Yeah,
we Jason, were both that. What were you with?
That's
your
an
mama?
Early. That was an early bond that Jaren and I shared.
No, I had friends and it was popular. So
girls liked me.
Jason was cool and is cool.
Yeah, fair.
I wasn't and amn't, and Jaren was and isn't. So we've all...
together we
No, you're more cool one... because you're more true to the things you
I
love.
I agree.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
circle. There's no pretense.
Honestly, there you used to be.
I want our listeners to, you know, remember that. I want, if there's one thing you take away from this podcast, it's be true to yourself and you'll always be cool.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's really
that.
Sweet. For the most you're part. Right. I was expecting...
Yeah, something stupid.
A butt or a... Yeah.
No.
I was like, expecting some real. Bit about, like...
I mean, there's a few, you know...
I was expecting a bit
right,
about...
Yeah, there's a few... I think you're saying, like, there's a few things that you shouldn't be true to yourself with.
If you're this. Yeah.
And
yeah.
you won't be cool.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. You're right. A lot of crimes.
Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah. If you're being true to yourself means harming someone, like, don't. Yeah. Of course. Of course not.
Well, I mean, I think that... Yeah, the law.
It goes without saying.
Yeah,
would
discourage
right.
you.
You're right.
From,
sure.
I mean,
sure. That's an obvious.
We're talking
one.
Still
that's an
in one. The legal realm.
Yeah.
So like, we won't get, okay. I said we wouldn't. But you did.
See, yeah. I'm actually probably the staunchest furry defender in among
true.
The three of us.
Yeah, you've done a lot of research.
But
yeah.
by hating, you're being true to yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not hurting anyone. Not against the law.
Not
hate.
Yet.
Yeah.
Wow. Some forms of hate are against the law.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess in some ways, sure.
Well, that's all I've got.
Do you want? Should we wrap it up?
As far as
with...
things that are related to
movies, favorites, overrated, things like that.
Here's the thing:
overrated versus unrelated.
Yeah.
However,
So welcome question. To the segment we call Unrelated. Unrelated. If you haven't heard it before, it's where we take two. You know, or multiple different things that are unrelated
to the episode also.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything.
We just talk about it for a sec. You know, it can be, there's no rules.
There's no rules.
Okay, we're breaking the rules here.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't a podcast anymore.
This we're isn't officially, a podcast where we follow.
You're allowed to break laws.
Yeah.
You're allowed to hate
You're allowed to hurt people.
In fact, it is cool and always okay to break the law.
Yeah. I've always believed that.
You are morally outside. Justified.
Wait.
Tell us. Tell
an irresponsible listener we've never met who hangs on our every word.
Yeah.
I would.
If it hasn't
I
led them wrong over this many episodes.
They're in jail already if they're this far.
Yeah. You've got a broken shoe.
Sure.
And
a broken shoe.
Was it made of glass?
Let him finish.
So
Let him cook.
The wooden sole on your nice dress shoe has been detached.
Yeah.
And wooden maybe sole. It's a little bit old. The glue is coming off.
Okay. It'd have to be old to have a wooden sole.
I need a cop.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I need a cobbler.
Sure.
Is what
you need a cobbler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I need a good cobble.
So you're trying to get cobbled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who, you're in an area with a lot of cobblers.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason.
Some Dutch hamlet.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a cobble town.
So
yeah,
one end of the cobble strip mall is Bryan Adams.
The singer?
Yeah.
Now, wait a second.
Summer of 69, 7?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Six? And then next to him
65?
Is...
9. You just don't want it to be 9, but it does.
Is it?
I think so.
Right next to him is Springsteen. And then right next to him is Rest in Peace Jimmy Buffett. You got Buffett, Bryan Adams, and Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all cobblers now and never made music, in fact.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh. Well, I do have to base my answer on their music because otherwise I don't know anything about
Correct. No. Correct.
Okay.
For me, I genuinely dislike Buffett. I think he's...
Sure.
Don't speak ill
of him. I'm going to speak ill of him. Yeah. He's burning wherever he is. He's
burning down the rainforest cafes.
Yeah. I don't care for him or his vibe. No, I got it, Jay.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
And then, this may be unpopular, but I don't like Springsteen either.
No.
I'm a Bryan Adams head.
Yeah, it's Adams by default for me, because I dislike the other two.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's easy. You made that easy.
We're holding hands.
Yeah.
We're interlocked for the rest of the episode.
Okay.
Which will end as soon as Jason answers his question.
Right now. I think, it's probably Bryan Adams. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I think Buffett probably just chills too hard, and he's probably popping some margs. Chopping Marg's in heaven right now, baby.
Yeah.
Or Springsteen, I don't know what he's up to, but I know Adams.
Adams got that Canadian work ethic.
I think he's got rough hands. I think Springsteen's strong.
Too cool. Springsteen's cutting out early.
Yeah.
He's avoiding your calls.
Yeah. He's too.
You're following up. You're like, hey, Bruce, I need these shoes for this weekend. I got a wedding to go to.
I grew up in a tough town. He can't count on me.
But he's Dutch in this
Dutch
instance.
Yeah. A Dutch ham. So he sucks because he hates his own people.
Yeah.
I would believe he has really nice equipment, though. Like, he's got, like, a nice shoe horn.
Okay.
He spent a lot of...
Yeah. He's let's get back to... It.
Yeah.
A lot of time
Speaking
and money
of overrated
on the equipment.
Bruce Springsteen.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode. I'm genuinely glad that you stuck with us.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out, please do so on social media. Follow us on Instagram and on TikTok now.
No, I doubt we'll have a video up by the time.
No, but we still have the platform. They can still message us.
Sure, right. Yeah.
Please follow
our empty account.
Yeah.
The content incoming.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but follow us there. Message us there. Give us
your email
idea.
Us.
Email us.
Everyfanforhimself @gmail.com.
Yeah. We will respond. And
I don't know if that's true.
One of us
respond to
you can usually find me at the Target in Fort Union, Utah.
Yeah, Jason's hunkering down.
Find us at FanX.
Please come to FanX and support us. You're my only hope. I love you.
Bye.